south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, we're back. You might remember last show, I read a bunch of emails. Well, I missed an important one. Was just rambling too much, ran out of time, that happens. So today we'll do just one more. It's very relevant, too. It's from a guy who calls himself Al Gringo. He says, "Hi there, Johnny. I stumbled upon your podcast while listening to a couple of other podcasts about Latin America that happened to have mentioned yours. In a matter of a couple of days, I binged on your last 20 or so episodes and decided to start my six-year plan to move south of the border. I've often thought and mentioned in conversations that this was something I was seriously considering, but only recently, even before finding your podcast, decided to actually start my plan. But why 6 years, you might ask? It's a long time. Well, it comes down to a second marriage in which I had two kids to get into college and out of the house. And in a stroke of careful maneuvering, I was lucky and able to get alimony from the first marriage to end roughly around the same time that the youngest goes off to college. As for me, I'm a disabled combat vet, so my kids are pretty much taken care of. I'm free to set my escape date for 6 years from now. Yes, my wife is absolutely on board and has even agreed to start investing in cryptocurrency. I should also mention I collect a fairly decent compensation for my combat disability, and I work now for the government in the DC area. Yeah, I know. The federal government is really that bad, that disorganized, that inefficient, that inept. Though, once upon a time, in a world that doesn't exist anymore, life was black and white, right or wrong. And since working for the federal government, it's become quite evident that I absolutely need to get out of here. And if it weren't for the reasons I mentioned before, I'd be leaving today. So, as I start putting together my plan B, you should know some important background info on me. Number one, I'm blind. And note, from my experience, I'm not your ordinary bleeding heart victim. I like to be as prepared as possible so as to make those certain rough parts easier to manage. More importantly, I like to stack the odds in my favor as much as possible. Number two, I'm a first-generation American whose parents migrated to the States from Mexico way back in the 50s when there was a little program known as Bracero that essentially allowed Mexican nationals to legally enter the country, but they were pretty much an indentured servant for 3 years. My childhood labor days served me well in the Army and in life thereafter. Even though as a young guy I labored in the fields in 100-plus degree weather, I'm quite white. Complected, meaning I look like a white guy. I was, in fact, teased mercilessly and often called a gringo. But like most other things that often look like obstacles, I turned that into a positive for me. In fact, I played both sides. When I wanted to be Latino, I was Alberto. When I wanted to be a gringo, I was Al, depending on the situation. Number four, my lovely wife is Salvadorian-born, though an American citizen and is fluent in both Spanish and English. Though she does have that accent. All right, me Johnny here just popping in. I assume she's your second wife, right? Because I don't know many guys who refer to their exes as lovely. Unless it's an air quote. Except maybe with a truckload of obvious sarcasm. My lovely Salvadorian-born wife is also very light-complected, but not as much as me. Of course, she used to tease me about that all the time till I started pointing out that I was actually a gringo plus. Most gringos, by the way, want to be like me, and most Latinos envy me, but not in a bad way. They still want to be my friend. Be Johnny button in again. I wonder, is that because of your light skin or your beautiful light-skinned wife? Or both? Perhaps we'll find out someday. Anyway, he says, number five, I'm fairly independent for a blind guy, but I use quite a bit of technology and a guide dog to get me around. I use Uber a lot and the Metro regularly, so I imagine I would need a decent cell phone signal once I get south of the border and or a personal driver. All right, since he mentioned having a decent cell phone signal, me, Johnny, here again. I should point out that cell phone signals are very strong now here in Latin America. The only place they're kind of iffy is way out in the boonies. Not the little cities and towns way out in the boonies, but I'm talking about the real countryside. You know, hiker, jungle, and backpacking territory. Apart from that, you almost never lose your signal these days. And besides that, Wi-Fi signals are everywhere. Not that you have to switch over, but if you need to, you can. The thing is, you see, most people don't have fixed cell phone plans. They pay as you go. Hey, I do that too because it's completely anonymous. You just buy a SIM chip at one of the little tiendas, load it up with 5, 10, or 20 bucks in the local funny money. Then, when you go in to select your plan, it can be for 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, 2 weeks, or a month, whatever you select. It'll subtract the proper amount of dough you've got loaded in there, and you're off to the races. Thing is, though, and it happens to me once in a while, I'll have selected a 5-day plan, let's say, and I'll forget the date and time it's going to run out. By the way, when you select a plan, let's say 5 days, it'll say, how many gigs of data do you want to have? I generally select 5. It costs me about $2 or $3. You can select more than 5 or less than 5 gigs, but I select 5 and it never runs out. Though I have very few apps on my phone, and I don't watch YouTube or Netflix on my phone. By the way, I don't have Netflix or any of those services in my house because my nerdy engineering friends have hooked me up with some pirate sites that get everything. Now, I know up in the States, some people have been busted for downloading stuff from pirate sites because, you know, you're supposed to pay for that stuff. Movies, books, audios. Well, down here in Latin America, that's just not a problem. There are no HBO, Netflix, or Amazon police. I'm sure some of you guys and gals coming down to the seminar are going to ask me about that. Again, I'm not recommending it. I'm just filling you in on what many astute expats do once they get down here. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. I usually renew my phone plan 5 days at a time. But that's just me. I could pick a week, 2 weeks, a month, or a day. The problem is you can't always keep track of when it's going to expire. So sometimes hours, maybe even a half day or a day will pass and I won't have any information or data movement at all. Not till you dial up the proper number to reload the thing with 5 days or whatever. So if you load in, let's say 5 days, on that fifth day, you may have forgotten it's going to run out sometime that day. Happens to me all the time. You'll only realize it expired when you try to send a message or make a call. Though, even if your time is expired, you can always receive phone calls. Just not VOP phone calls like WhatsApp or Signal calls. Though, once you plug in some more time, all the messages and VOP calls that came to you will show up. And believe me, if you have a girlfriend and she sent you a message and your time ran out and therefore didn't get it or it didn't register on your phone, when you finally re-up your phone and she's in contact with you again, she's going to say, what were you doing for the past 5 hours? Why didn't you answer me? It's that Latina jealousy gene overload. And man, you better have answers fast. So for me, and I've got an Android phone, I actually have 2 Android phones, one for calls, mostly Signal, and another one strictly for Uber and WhatsApp conversations with plumbers and electricians or whatever. I keep those things completely separate for anonymity and privacy reasons. I'm not saying you have to go that far, but I do. So anyway, sometimes my plan runs out and I don't know it. Maybe half a day will go by and I'll think, got to send a message to somebody or whatever. Or I'm expecting a message, and why didn't I get it? And I look in there, and I see it hasn't come. It'll show a little clock icon where the message is, indicating a message or call of some kind has come in, but is not available for you to see or listen to. Then you plug in some more time, and it all appears. It's there. Maybe hours late, but better late than never. Now, you don't have to worry about any of that if you bought into a contract plan. But then you got to go down to the cell phone store, give up your debts, where you live. You know all that know-your-customer bullshit? Of course, you could have your cleaning lady or maintenance guy go down and do that for you. But sometimes the cell phone company won't let them get a plan because a lot of them don't have bank accounts. Yeah, that's right. A lot of the grunt workers down here do not have bank accounts. They're all working straight for cash, you know. Their whole life operates with cash. They don't have credit cards either, or debit cards. In fact, I'm 100% certain my cleaning lady does not have a credit or a debit card. Or even a bank account, but I don't know, I'll ask her. Which reminds me, isn't it funny? In El Salvador, 70% of the people don't have bank accounts, but they all know how to use Bitcoin. Amazing, huh? But let's get back to Al Gringo's email. He says, Johnny, So with all that said, I tentatively have a couple of areas in Michoacán and Oaxaca, Mexico, that I know to be quite safe and on my list. But I'm not so narrow-minded as to not look at other options for mine and my wife's Plan B exit. After all, I'm looking for an area that best meets the lifestyle I want, and I have the time, 6 years, to figure it all out. And yes, Johnny, it's true, I've heard more than enough of your episodes to know what you think about Mexico as a Plan B exit strategy, so you don't need to go there again. Anyway, that's my story. What I'd like to ask of you, Johnny, is where do you recommend I start in putting together my crypto Plan B nest egg? Secondly, understanding my unique background, are there any places you might recommend I go check out for myself? Then he says, thanks, Johnny. I plan on downloading and listening to more of your older stuff to get caught up with all the great info you dispense regularly. Signed, El Gringo. All right, me, Johnny here. Now, before I lead you along the garden path too far, I have to mention that this email came in a little over a year and a half ago. And here's what's happened since. I hooked him up with one of my Expat Insider alumnus, who, by the way, is also blind and is living here in Latin America. On top of that, I hooked him up with Captain Mango. He got on board with that great crypto course Mango teaches. You've heard me talk about it before, Crypto for Beginners, in which he holds your hand through the whole thing. So anyway, time rolls on, and about 4 or 5 months after that last email, he sent me this one. Starts out, hey, Johnny, just dropping some lines to catch you up a bit. That other blind guy, Mr. D, that expat seminar alumni you hooked me up with, was a valuable resource for me with all his boots on the ground. He helped me a great deal with quite a few things. And as far as learning about cryptocurrencies, it took some time in researching cold storage wallets for crypto and Bitcoin. I needed something that would be easy and accessible to me. Remember, I'm blind. He says, ultimately, I settled on one nifty little device that did require some assistance from my wife to set up, but works quite nicely now, as it has fingerprint ID and PIN to unlock the little thing. He says, I briefly connect via my phone with even more PIN numbers to move currencies as needed and verify again on the device with my fingerprint. It took me a long time to memorize my keys, but hopefully, we'll never need them again. Now, you might be wondering, why am I going so far back in time with El Gringo's emails? That one's coming up on a year old. Well, to actually plot the progress of someone rolling along on his Plan B, it's especially important to note he's not your typical case. He's blind, yet still, he's getting the hell out of Dodge, making real progress. And all you guys up there in the first world sitting on the fence, you think and wonder if it's possible for you to pull it off. And you've got no such issues. Anyway, that last email came in almost a year ago now. Meanwhile, another email update just came in from El Gringo just 2 or 3 days ago. He says, Johnny, I'm down to 4 years and counting. The wife and I can hardly wait, and we're making the first of 2 trips this year to the far east of El Salvador to scope out the land the in-laws just gave us. Yep, that's right. The in-laws just gave us some land in El Salvador. Remember, my wife's an American, but she is from El Salvador. Just a quick side note, he says. The in-laws moved to the U.S. from El Salvador to escape the civil war in the late 80s. They've done just okay here in the U.S., but have become land barons in their homeland of El Salvador. It's a very interesting story how that happened, too. Every time they went back, and that was at least once a year, they were approached by down-on-your-luck family members or down-on-your-luck friends that were so down that they sold their land for pennies on the dollar. So my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, offered us the land she grew up on as a child. And when she opened up their safe to show us the deeds, called escrituras en español, they also pulled out all the papers for 14 other pieces of properties they'd bought. Yes, I definitely say they've done quite well for themselves in El Salvador. The fact is, all 14 properties range from about 2 to 10 manzanas each. A manzana is about 2.5 acres. So, the properties range from 5 to 25 acres. Mighty sweet. Needless to say, I've been tirelessly researching all I can find on new possible Plan B homes in relation to those properties. Like, for example, where are the nearest towns and cities you can get stuff, nearest hardware stores and construction supply depots. Anyway, it looks like those lands make the mark for me on everything on my list except the four-hour drive it takes to get to the airport. And based on all the news I'm reading about the internationals moving to El Salvador due to the Bitcoin adoption there, I can live with that four-hour drive to the airport because I want little or nothing to do with what eventually is going to happen to the cost of living, where all those folks, those Bitcoin folks, a lot of them with real money, end up settling in San Salvador, the capital, and La Union, which is now called Bitcoin City. So, Johnny, just to let you know, our first trip down will involve checking out our new land and all the other 14 properties. I'll definitely be taking some good hiking shoes and my off-road cane. The thing is, my in-laws have no idea what to do with all that land, and they want me to give them some ideas when we get back to the States. My plans for the second trip will involve transferring the title, opening up bank accounts since my wife has her Salvadorian identification documents, and finding a decent lawyer, if there is such a creature. Anyway, Johnny, we have a bit of time to figure out how to send ourselves some money using the Chivo app rather than wiring money down. I swear banks seem to ask more and more questions every time we wire money out of the U.S. But actually, I've figured out a workaround. The reason I give the banksters now, that raises the least amount of suspicions when they ask their million and one questions, is that I'm paying for my illegitimate son's kidney dialysis in El Salvador. Funny how the intrusive million questions seem to stop abruptly after I say that. Why is it so hard to move money? I'm just looking forward to slowly moving my money out without any questions. Why is that so hard? Anyway, Johnny, just check it in and let you know I'm still working to stay ahead on my plan B. And I've started making notes on a lot of your construction tips on building homes in Latin America. Thanks again for all you do and keep it up. Cheers, Al Gringo. Well, there you have it. A loyal listener who's just not a wannabe. He's got things well in hand. He's got that plan B in motion. And there's just one little thing. He's blind. Which begs the question, how is your plan B coming? And if you're just sitting on the fence beating yourself up over it, thinking, oh, it's too tough, it can't be done, I'd like to know why. What's your excuse? Oh, just one more thing. There's a little PS here. He says, Johnny, you mentioned you could direct or send info to those that were interested in investing in El Salvadorian volcano bonds. Any info you send would be greatly appreciated. Well, Mr. Al Gringo, I'll certainly keep you posted on that. Those volcano bonds are in the pipeline, but as of now, they haven't got a release date yet. Because, you know, they have to hook up with a first world brokerage firm to sell those things, right? Like that crook Jamie Dimon's company, JP Morgan. Too bad when you sell bonds, you gotta partner with guys like that. But that's how it works. Can't do it any other way. That said, it's coming up soon and I'll keep you posted. And don't worry, we've got our ear to the ground in El Salvador. I've got a couple of Expat Insider Seminar alumni living there and doing well. They're on that volcano bond thing and are in frequent contact with me. All right, speaking of rolling along on that plan B, here's a short email from Mr. D. He says, Johnny, when I retire with my plan B in Latin America, I no longer want to be faced with yard work, snowplows, shovels. I don't want to see bushes and hedges, indoors or outdoors. So put me in a column of hardwood floors and bare, litter-free beaches. Then he says, as to your observation in episode 1219 about countries printing their currencies in larger and larger denominations, well, I have to tell you, for the past year, many, many ATMs here in Washington, D.C., land of the snakes and serpents, they're now issuing only $50 bills after the first 520s if you're taking out $200 or more from your account. And here in D.C., even a 50 barely covers dinner for two these days, and that's with no drink and before the tip. The moral of that story is we're all screwed if we stay here. As always, Johnny, much thanks for your program. Only 612 days left till I can retire from my wretched government job. And about 4 years for early Social Security. Signed, Mr. D. Yep, Mr. D, where to live, where to live. I've had that dilemma many times in my life. Should I live in a residential tower? Something super secure, guard at the entrance, got to sign in, cameras everywhere. Only problem then is it's not very anonymous. And if you got some shit neighbors, man, on occasion you'll be riding the elevators with them. However, big advantage with the residential tower is security, and you can take off for months at a time. Just lock it up, and when you come back, it'll be exactly as you left it with the little coating of dust, but that's unavoidable. Oh, and speaking of Latina wives and girlfriends, I know, pretty abrupt segue there, huh? Just an observation for you guys out there who have Latina wives and girlfriends. It seems if you took a poll, the number one dream they have, besides having a guy that doesn't cheat on them or beat them or drink, is to have a house. Not an apartment, not a condo, not a penthouse, nothing in a high-rise. They want a house with a garden, a dog, a place for the kids to play. Man, I'll tell you, you could have a million-dollar penthouse, jacuzzi, pool on the roof, and they'll take the $150K residential cracker box, as long as it's got a yard and a couple of trees. Problem is, houses, unless they're brand new, need a hell of a lot of upkeep and maintenance. I know you're probably thinking, what's Johnny saying that for? He's a former engineer and he's got all the tools, so he probably can fix anything around the house. Well, comes a time when you're just sick of doing all that stuff. Maintenance on a house is never-ending. Hey, it's a young man's game. Even if you like it, it gets old. And having a maintenance guy hanging around all the time, that gets old too. Those guys are eminently affordable. But, you know, there goes your privacy. Call me a jerk, call me an a-hole, but that's just me. Now, regarding the scenario of having help around the house at all times, ask yourself this. If you're middle class or even upper middle class in the States, there's no way you've got a cleaning lady coming in every day or even more than once a week. Now add a maintenance guy to the mix. There goes your privacy. Plus, you're stuck with feeding them both. You know, I've said this before and it really makes a lot of sense. One of my expat gringo buddies once told me, the worst thing about having a cleaning lady rooting around is that you can never completely relax. You can't walk around in your underwear, and heaven forbid you get an itchy crotch or a bum hole. It's bad enough these days people talk so loud into their cell phones. Have you noticed that? Latinos and Latinas, even more so than gringos, because when they're in the presence of gringos, they think you don't speak Spanish. So who cares about the volume? At least that's what they're thinking. However, when the odd gringo, the one out of 20 or 50 or 100 that really can understand Spanish, is standing around, a guy like me, soon enough you'll discover there's nothing, no taboo subject at all, when it comes to talking on the phone, and many times it'll be at maximum volume. By the way, a couple of months ago I was talking about Ponzi schemes that are going around here in Latin America, mostly initiated through cell phone messages that hook you in. Put your money into so-and-so and get 10% guaranteed interest a month, blah, blah, blah. Well, just yesterday, I was having a coffee at one of my favorite little outdoor coffee joints, shooting the breeze with ex-corrupt Boston cop Bob. He introduced me to a smart young Latino whose English is pretty good. He's an econ major in college, graduates next year. That should qualify him for a job at Starbucks or Pizza Hut, but I held that thought. We were talking about the state of the economy. Why not? He's an econ major, right? When he told me about how he and a couple of his buddies, who were also econ majors, got scammed on an internet pyramid scheme. You think an econ major would have known better, huh? I mean, hell. Even I remember way back when I took an econ course, we studied Ponzi and Ponzi schemes in general. Oh, well. Anyway, he was kind of crying on my shoulder, and I said, hey, you should be thankful you got sucked in at the ripe young age of 22. At 22, most of us have almost nothing to lose. Imagine if you'd have got hooked when you were 32 or 42. Getting screwed on a pyramid scheme when you're 22, that's a gift. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up because down here, the gullibility factor is huge. Not that it's any better with kids his age up in the States, but 22-year-old Americans always have mommy and poppy to fall back on. Down here, that's almost never the case. Speaking of Ponzi schemes and things that seem to be too good to be true, you know, I've been saying for years and years on this show that you can get really high rates of return on CDs in dollars, and the local funny money currency too, in most banks and savings and loans. Normally, whatever CDs go for in the States, it's usually double that down here, if you look around. Now, of course, if you have half a brain, you'll realize the government-published inflation stats are total bullshit, total lies. If you go to shadowstats.com, you can see what the real inflation numbers are, because, you know, the government manipulates them. They don't calculate them the way they did in the Reagan years and all the years before. The fact is, if you just double the government's official stats, you'll get the real rate of inflation, which is around 14% now. That, of course, means in order to just preserve your wealth, not make it grow at all, you got to get 14% interest on your investment, right? A very, very tough thing to do. And of course, you know, the more the promised rate of return is, the more risky the investment. That's the trade-off. It's been like that throughout history. So then, why am I bringing this up? Well, because I've been getting lots of emails lately from people saying, Johnny, where can I get those high rates of return you're always talking about? I've got some cash to park and at 2 or 3% interest in a U.S. account. With inflation, I'm losing my ass. Well, you know, here in Latin America, once you get to a country, just plug in the word Banco CD in your search engine, and you'll generally pull up 10 or 20 local banks. So which one do you choose? Because some fail occasionally, you know. Which one should you choose? Well, I say go to their website and find out how long they've been in existence. Turns out a bank that's been around more than 30 years, one that got through the 2008 crisis. That's a good sign the bank's solvent and well-run. In fact, there are some banks down here that are 50, 75, even 100 years old. They've weathered major financial storms and are still around. Now, the thing that most gringos and expats don't know is that they've got credit unions down here. They're called cooperativas, or credit associations, asociaciones. You don't have to be a union member to join. Anyone can. Just like in the States, you can open an account at a credit union. You don't have to be a member of a certain company or union. Though that's how most all of them got started. Down here, they offer higher rates of return on deposits and CDs than regular banks. Of course, the same thing goes when you want to rate one of those organizations. How long have they been around? Down here, that's a big indicator of a bank's health, as far as the layperson is concerned anyway. I'll tell you, those credit unions or cooperativas pay a hell of a lot of interest. Oftentimes, it's a shock to gringos and expats. Just as an example, there's a cooperative, a credit union, in Ecuador called 23 de Julio. That's the name of the credit union. And it's got a rated risk of AA-, which is pretty good. But you really can't count on those ratings because they're all corrupted to the core with special interests. If you remember during the housing crisis of 2007-2008, big banks and lenders that went under had double and triple A ratings from Moody's and Standard & Poor. It's all bullshit. Anyway, I'm looking at an ad right now for this particular savings and loan. It's a cooperative. That's what they call them down here. Its name is 23 de Julio. They're offering 10.25% in a U.S. dollar CD. How about that? Sounds too good to be true, right? And admittedly, it's a pretty damn high rate. The point is, once you're down here in Latin America, you'll find savings and loans offering really high rates like that. Whereas banks, traditional banks, maybe one right across the street from this place, might be offering 7% on a U.S. dollar CD. Yep, seeing is believing. So then do I recommend it? Well, I don't know how long this place has been around, but I don't like banks in general. Especially these days, you have to answer so many questions and jump through so many hoops just to receive or send a wire transfer. Nope, I stay away from banks. I hate them. But you know, you got to have a bank account to have a credit card, and you have to have a credit card to check into a hotel or buy anything online. So you're stuck making a deal with the devil. But as for keeping large amounts of money in a bank, it's up to you, but I'd never do it myself. You have heard of gold, cash under the mattress, and Bitcoin, right?
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.